Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening all. How we doing out there?
Cliff, if you're on the line, would you
would you give us a howdy ho from the Texas Big Radio?
How y'all doing, Potland?
Yeah, man, we're here.
I love y'all. I miss y'all very much. I had a great time in September. I want to thank everyone there for such a wonderful time and all the hospitality that y'all showed everyone during the normal conference and at Hempstock. I loved it. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, you know, you folks from Texas really made it that there was a crew, including yourself, of five or six folks. I had the privilege of catching a ride with those cats over to the event site at Kelly Point, and that was a real good time. It was a real good time.
Yeah, there was about 12, 13, 14 of us, I think, actually, that all came at different times together. We actually all kind of formed up in one area and had a great time. It was wonderful.
Certainly a passionate weekend, you know, besides the conference. We had the Hempstock, and then simultaneously, within that 10-day, it was a 10-day vortex, and at the same time that was occurring, the Time-Based Art Festival was touching down again, which started in 2003. So it was quite a whirlwind of interest.
Oh, yeah.
You were probably a filament amongst the other heads that were attracted to the zone here, Cliff. And
Thank you very much. I was honored just to be among most of the people that were there. That was just fantastic. You know, the vibes were really good. The people were really wonderful. I couldn't believe they could get that many people together without anybody having a hassle with a problem with alcohol. It was wonderful.
Well, I tell you, it hasn't come without its growing pains. And myself, I had a great healing at the Hempstock. And you know, anytime you're part of a movement, you get, you know, a great there's a diverse amount of interests, and everybody's got something to say, and you know, they got their ways of saying it, and sometimes it comes with growing pains, and you know, growing up is not easy.
Oh no, never.
Not when you're
changing.
Ready to move, anyway.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, not when you're spearheading a movement like that. You know, it's like the growing pains are inevitable, and you know, Oregon is definitely playing a leading role in the nationwide movement to normalize, and because of that, we've got a high degree of funk here at home in Portland as a result of the national ego that goes along with a good thing.
Yeah.
And that's why we're calling into the Texas social fabric, because we need to get, sometimes we need to get reoriented, you know, to what we're doing and why we're doing it. And, you know, we still have this competitive, capitalistic tendency to consolidate one's own best interests. And so maybe tonight we're going to expand the envelope of potential for us all.
Okay. That sounds wonderful.
You know, now I know for you, you know, you're already ahead of the game, and I was just, you know, looking at your profile, and you got some kids and a family, right?
Yes, actually, I've had seven kids. One passed away in 07, but I have a stepdaughter also, so I still have seven children alive, and I'm still kicking, and I'm vertical, and I'm breathing. all but two are out of college, so I'm doing well.
Well, you know, and it sounds like you go in the distance that you have, you know, endured a number of experiences, and I've just got one kid, so I can't imagine seven.
They range from 13 to 38, so it's different.
Right. Yeah. So you've got to be well rounded, and you know, ahead of the game in so many ways. And for myself, you know, and just making a way and a way of life, you know, for my son and my wife, you know, being an entrepreneur and self-employed and one who's inclined towards freedom and free will, you know, some people would think funny about participating, on the level that I've chosen to play. And, you know, once you get into it and once you put your front foot forward, there's no turning back, really. Once you're in for good.
No, you just keep putting the next foot forward and the next foot forward and the next foot forward, and you just keep going, and after a while you're running. And, you know, it's just like learning how to walk. You just have to keep pushing, and you have to make sure that you're involved. That's one of the biggest problems I think we have, is that a lot of people, not a lot of them, but a large portion, let's say, of people desire to be complacent in not only something that they have the right to do, but something that would help them out, and that would be in the process of making sure that things are ran the way that we the people want them ran, as opposed to political agendas or personal agendas from our representatives in Congress and in state and local legislatures.
Right. Well, you know, and we're going to do that. We're going to go from the macro economic, you know, down to the microeconomic. And
okay.
Yeah, and you know, really what it comes down to from one family man to another is, you know, a quality of life that's befitting of that which gives you the time to not only take care of yourself and your kids, your wife and kids, but, you know, the time to be able to really develop yourself so that you do have skills and ways and means to share, you know, a quality of life or even a facet of artistic expression or cultural type of inclination, or if you want to call it a religion, or if you want to call it you know, just a way of raising your kids and keeping your ship tight, or keeping, you know, your family together. It's extremely difficult when most relationships are failing as a result of not having enough time or not having enough money.
Oh, yes, especially during this economic downfall that's going on right now. And people that are strapped really are those that have probably one income coming in. There's unemployment is at its peak. So for those people that can't get more hours in or didn't get a cost of living raise or something like that, or really starting to feel the events of hyperinflation as opposed to just inflation, because the prices are going up because people are not being able to buy as much, so demand is going down, and that raises the price up on the shift in the curve. And when you look at a macro situation and it's going along the entire United States, and the entire United States is suffering in a situation like that, then something is very wrong. But it's been headed for disaster for numerous years because we print up as much money as we want. It's called fiat money, naturally. Everybody knows that. But in a situation like that, it actually devalues the dollar to where some people might say, well, the economy might look a little flat, but actually what's happening is people are trying to change taste and preference. They can't buy the same price. They can buy the same price, but not the same quality of product of whatever they purchase, you know, their needs and wants. And so what that makes it look like is that the economy might be flat, but actually they've had to change taste and preference, and now even changing taste and preference has gone to where the prices are hard to stabilize. And so It can be very, very difficult, yes, to put it mildly.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, Cliff, we've been watching it for some time, and today, you know, it's a great deal of sensationalism. You've got media hype. You've got your senses being drawn out by so many different elements of media and information is just coming in incredible data packs and so on and so forth. And so, you know, in trying to localize and focalize and bring it down into a manageable perspective, and one that gives people a sense of direction, or really gives them a sense of empowerment, or gives them some tools, or gives them an understanding as to why we feel that cannabis as not only a medicine but as a resource, you know, in so many different ways, and it doesn't take a genius to do the research on that to know its application and what we can do with that. But I guess what I want to try to avoid is spiraling out too far into the macro dynamic and really try to get a focus on some key points that you are working on and that you're working towards. And of course, you know, tie that in with your tour dates and other speaking opportunities.
All right. I've met with a senatorial aide, with the sitting senator right now, on a Compassionate Care Act that our lawyer, our legal counsel on the board of Norman Voico Incorporated, he went to Washington, D.C. to meet with Alan St. Pierre and Keith Straub and made some suggestions, and I had a meeting with them and came back, and we've made some adjustments to the proposal, because people do not have a voice here in Texas on the issue of drugs. Whenever it comes to that issue, we lose ballot initiative. They will let us except for alcohol and tobacco. I forgot those drugs are there. They will let you vote on alcohol and tobacco, but they will not let you vote on cannabis or industrial hemp, which, by the way, most of the local grocery stores here put out a flax and hemp, industrial hemp, that's cereal that is produced in our state capital. And my wife gets a lotion that's sent to her from out of Dallas, Fort Worth area, that actually comes from the United Kingdom. They put it together there, and it's a lotion. It doesn't contain THC, or cannabinoids, I do not believe, as many as it needs, but I believe it's less than 1%. But anyway, it's made of industrial hemp, but the cereal is actually produced here. They get the raw materials imported, unfortunately, but they produce the cereal here. So it's kind of ironic that the problem is our farmers are having to either live from bank loan to bank loan, hoping that the crop comes in so that they do not lose a generational farm, or they live on a government subsidy, which is the people's tax dollars, to grow a corn for ethanol fuel, which we know that hemp being grown not only would replenish their soil as a rotation crop, but also is the number one crop over all other crops combined, and also produces a better ethanol biodiesel fuel, and has before in fact, because Henry Ford made his cars out of hemp material, which is kind of like a resin. It's a little bit lighter than fiberglass, but it's 10 times stronger than steel. And he also ran it on a biodiesel fuel made out of industrial hemp. So, you know, he was way before his time, or else we are way behind ours.
What do you think we can do, you know, to really unify, you know, our collective will and the potential to create a social form that can truly model to the rest of the wannabes how to live, you know, in an autonomous self-generating type of home economy?
Oh, gosh. Well, an autonomous one?
Yeah, well, we're talking about autonomy from the corporatocracy.
Well, unfortunately, you would
well,
have to probably live off in the country somewhere. I live in a state that is very restrictive on everything. We have approximately 300 amendments to our Constitution already, and it's six times larger than, or to maybe 10 times larger than the U.S. Constitution. The Texas Constitution is hard to get around. And so these proposals that we make, we hope that what we can do with these proposals is make an awareness, for one, and hopefully get the ear and the understanding of the people, being as how they were polled, and it's approximately 63% to 67% said that they were in favor of medical cannabis for Texas. I know it's higher for the U.S., and it's getting up higher now daily. But they see the need. They understand that this guy didn't fall in with 15 states in Washington, D.C., having medical laws. So, but our governor has sent me a response that I can go on the medical Texas Intractable Pain Control Act, in which the Veterans Administration put me on in 2005. And I was on methadone for a little over 4 years before I decided to get myself off of it, or I didn't think I would be around too much longer. It took all quality of life, like you were talking about earlier, and it actually takes a little dignity away from an individual. I went from a person being able to stand in front of as many people that could be there to a person that didn't want to even answer the phone, kind of Howard Hughes, except no money, turned into a recluse. And so I wanted my quality of life back, and I wrote the governor, and I talked to him about it, and I'm 100% disabled Vietnam veteran, and they consider me unemployable now. And at one time, I was a Texas Senate Commendated Teacher of the Year for A.J. Moore Academy here in Waco for 2001-2002. And also celebrated by the city of Waco, the Waco Foundation, as an outstanding teacher for 2002. And I think that has some credibility, and I think that my research that I'm doing and sending him is correct. But he respectfully disagrees. This is according to his letter that I got from him, but there could be so much more benefit. Right now we're looking at a 60% traffic increase from Mexico, which is not just importing furniture or things like that, or clothing. You know what I mean? They just had a 300-pound bust about a mile and a half away from my house on I-35, and probably let about 2 tons go right on by while they celebrated, I'm sure. But we're fighting a situation that's really hard to fight. We're fighting an economic war that we're wasting billions of dollars in, and as opposed to making billions of dollars. And it's sad to see that our legislature gets absolutely nothing done because they cannot come together. There's so much inner fighting going on. I'm sure that most of our founding fathers are probably, you know, not just rolling but digging their graves a little deeper so they don't have to feel it all. But I'm serious. It's sad. I mean, when George Washington and Thomas Jefferson used to trade during the holidays, used to trade smoking mixtures of Indian cannabis, or Indian hemp is what they called it, which was cannabis at the time. And George Washington and Thomas Jefferson used to sit out and look at their fields of not only industrial hemp, but Indian hemp as well. And so, and with the statement "Grow hemp, it will make our country strong," he wasn't just joking. I mean, right now it's 35.5, 6, 7, 8 billion a year in being able to produce as a crop for the states. And just imagine if the rest of the states came on board, how much more that would be, and how much more manpower would be back on the streets fighting real crime as opposed to putting patients in jail for trying to, or for being forced to actually obtain their medication from a criminal element, and so, or an underground economy, which is about $135 billion a year that goes into an underground economy every year. And so it doesn't stay in a local economy, and so it doesn't multiply in a local economy. The multiplier effect doesn't take hold, and so there you are. People suffer, and that's what's going on right now. We've been spending too much money trying to fight moral battles as opposed to fighting, you know, and fighting religious wars as opposed to taking care of ourselves.
Right. Well, that's what it's coming down to. We're bringing it home. And on that note, I want you to know that we've got, you know, 7 minutes or so in the program. Can you give us a snapshot of your tour dates and speaking arrangements and things that you're doing?
Oh, sure. I know that this Sunday, Normal of Waco Incorporated is having its first members meeting of the year, but I will be speaking at the Willie Nelson Teapot Party of Fort Worth on the 18th, and I will also be in Austin at Brave Books for the activist training camp that they will be having on the 22nd. I've also been asked to speak at SMU again this semester coming up, and Sam Houston State University has also sent me an email and asked me if I would be able to speak for them at a meeting for their, I believe that SMU is starting a normal, and or Sam Houston State is starting a normal, and SMU is starting a SSDU, which is Students for a Sensible Drug Policy. SDP, I'm sorry. I said DU. But
we can find out more about that on your Facebook, I presume.
You can find out about it on our website. Also, there was a new bill proposed here in Texas today. It's been proposed twice before in the legislature, but it is to reduce or basically take 1 ounce or less from a Class B misdemeanor, which is $2,000 and up to 180 days in jail, down to a maximum fine of $500 and no criminal record. So it's really good, and as long as the people are writing their representatives, staying in contact, you know, I have four easy steps, and I usually tell them, I can tell them really quick, four easy steps to being an informed voter, which is what you need to be if you want to be We the People. And one is register to vote. Most states usually you have to at least 30 days before an election. Two, make sure you find out who the candidates are and create a dialogue, a positive dialogue with them. Three, make sure that you do vote and do it early so that you don't forget on voting day. And four, keep on their backsides, because if you don't, then all of a sudden their political agenda starts coming in and the agenda of the people is starting to move to the side. You have to stay in contact. You have to be involved.
Right on, man. Right on. Word, Berg. Well, we want to thank you for that because obviously you're doing the work and it's same. Cliff, I want to thank you for your time and your insight and your passion.
Well, thank you very much.
You too, man. We're going to be in touch, and I'd appreciate you coming back on the show, okay?
All right. Anytime.
Right on,
love
man.
You, Portland.
Love you. Love you. Take care. Always shouting out the freedom tirade. Good night, all. This is Bud Justice on the line. We had Cliff Duvall from Big Radio Texas coming through. And if you want to find out more about this, that, or the other, just dial us up on the live wire. You know where it's at. All right. Without further ado.